right. Thank you for tuning in to Guidance Unscripted. This is episode 7. And today's topic, we're going to be focusing a little bit on anxiety and depression. And we've got a pretty unique guest speaker with us because we're going to get this from a student's perspective. So, Kaylee, do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself a little bit and then we'll get into the questions?
Yeah. I'm Kaylee DePriest. My little brother goes to the school too. I feel like more people know him than they know me. So if you know Mason DePriest, that's my younger brother. I'm the center marimba for the Avon Pit. So if you see me, that's me. The end. I can also burp on command.
Oh, very good.
Talented.
Resume builder.
Yeah, resume. So you were the one jumping up and down in the pit. Is that what you said?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I am the one.
So what brings you onto our podcast today?
Well, I'm here because Mr. Thompson asked me to come here to talk about my experience from last year. It's been going on for a while, but last year was definitely the roughest. I had been coming to Mr. Thompson for a little bit about my anxiety, depression, and it was very difficult, but I'm here now. I made it through to the other side. It was definitely one of the most challenging battles I've ever been in, but I'm very glad that I got through it, and Mr. Thompson thought it would be a good idea for me to share my experiences and talk about techniques I used to get through it and whatnot.
Very nice. Well, thank you for volunteering and for wanting to share your story.
Of course.
If Mr. Thompson did give you an option, we're not sure about that.
I don't know about options. I always encourage my students that we go through things for a reason. And usually that is because someone needs to hear our story at some point in time. And so...
And it's especially meaningful when it's coming from a peer who has gone through it and been in your shoes. So absolutely right. I say that a lot as well. So, Kaylee, how long have you struggled with anxiety and depression?
Well, I was diagnosed about a year ago, maybe a little bit longer. But looking back, I know I had it in, it started about 7th, 8th grade. And then it got just worse and worse as time progressed. And last year I was at my lowest point. And that's all I have to say about that.
So with you having personal experience with anxiety and depression, can you describe what this looked like for you? Now, we obviously know that it doesn't look like the same thing for everyone, but what it looked like for you.
Well, for me, it was mostly, I was tired all the time and very unmotivated, and there was just never anything running through my mind, and I never wanted to socialize, like, I never wanted to leave the house, really, which is probably something that people could see from the outside looking in, but on the inside, the anxiety felt like just like pressure, like squeezing in your chest. I don't know. It's hard to describe. It's like there's like a hand inside of you that's just squeezing your chest, and you're just like, please just let me go. Yeah.
Yeah, so we've talked. There are different ways that students feel about what that looks like for them. So talk a little bit about, you know, what it was like to have the anxiety and then the difference between the anxiety and when you would actually have like an anxiety attack, what that looked like.
Yeah. So the anxiety, like at its resting period, kind of just felt like something. Like when you're watching a movie and it has that music and you know something's about to pop out at you and you're just like, oh, I'm waiting for it, except it never pops out at you. And it's just always sitting there and you're just like, please, just pop out at me. Just be gone. But it never does. It never pops out at you. And it's always that suspenseful type feeling. But when you're having the anxiety attack, it is absolutely petrifying. There are a lot of things that can trigger it. I feel like more people think it's more like if you're stressed out or whatever, but it can be the simplest thing. Like, you can drop a piece of your food on the ground and then it will just set it off. And you're just like, I don't even know where that came from. But it feels like your heart starts beating really fast. That's something you can feel. Like, you feel it pounding in there. And your eyes start watering like you're going to cry. But not because you're sad or anything. It's just, I don't know. The tears are just being forced out. And your face gets really hot. And you start breathing so fast. But it doesn't feel like there's any air getting to your lungs. And it really, really sucks because you just have to wait it out. And there's nothing you can... I mean, there are things you can do to help end it. But it's not like if you have an upset stomach and you take medicine and then you feel better. It's like, it's a very... It takes time. But some things you can do to help the anxiety attack pass a little bit quicker are... it's called grounding. I learned from Michelle. And the first time I had ever like heard of it was when I was in my therapist's office and there was a poster on the wall and it was like, what to do if you're having an anxiety attack. And it was like, find three things that you can see and find three things you can touch and three things you can smell, like just different things around the room. And it pretty much just helps your mind to start up again and basically just think about something that's not the anxiety attack, which is really hard to do in that moment. And it sounds really cheesy. It sounds like it doesn't work or whatever, but it really, really does.
Awesome. Yeah, and that grounding technique mm-hmm. is something that I use personally in my office, but I know, you know, other counselors around guidance as well use that, and mm-hmm. it is very effective for being able to remove the students from that anxiety provoking situation, that anxiety attack, be able to bring things, you know, back to reality so mm-hmm. you can really process. And, you know, I mean, it's not going to be a flip of the switch when you,
yeah.
you know, when you do grounding, it's not going to be, oh, everything's better. Mm-hmm. But at least it's a good place to start mm-hmm. to be able to start talking about it. So I'm glad that you brought that up. And I think that that's a really nice transition into my question for you. So what were some helpful resources around the school or things that you did that helped you persist from, you know, about seventh grade when you started to have some of these symptoms to now?
Well, I didn't realize what it was at first. I figured it was something that everyone was feeling. You know, it's just stress. It's just school. It's just, I'm just tired from school, whatever. Or I'm just unmotivated because school is dumb or whatever. But I remember one night I was on FaceTime with one of my previous friends, and he was like, hey, Kaylee, I think you should talk to your mom about this. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're right, I should. And it's not, I hadn't talked to her at that point, not because I didn't want to, I just never thought it was like a big enough deal that I needed to talk about it. So I went, and I was like, I found my mom. And we live in a house filled with people, so it's really hard to get a moment alone to have a conversation because there's always someone going, Mom, the oven's going off, or Mom, I can't find my socks, or whatever. And so pulled her aside, closed the door, and I said, Mom, I need to talk to you about something, and I just want, don't say anything, I'm just going to say it. And I just want you to think for a minute and process, and then I'll let you know when I'm ready to hear what you have to say. And she said, okay. And I said, I think it would be a good idea to get me on meds for anxiety and depression. And she just said, okay. And she handled it really well. I mean, she's amazing. She's a trooper, because I know it can't be easy to have a child that's going through that. But at the same time, I know not many people, or not everyone at least, has, you know, a great relationship with their mom or their dad or either of their parents or whatever. So if you don't have that relationship, you know, you can always talk to the guidance counselors at school. they're here for you. I know it sounds cheesy. I really didn't want to talk to them at first, but I'm glad I did because it benefited me a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah, so when you mentioned that, some of the things that you've done looking back to kind of get yourself some help, you took some great steps in reaching out to parents or trusted adults is definitely the first place to go. And I'm glad you had someone in your past that at least was able to recognize that there was something going on that you needed to get some help. So looking back into the past again, what other supports do you wish you had here at Avon High School that would have been helpful?
I think it would have been helpful for the people, you know, my own age to be more understanding about it, because I really had no one. Last year was the absolute lowest point in my entire life. I mean, I know I'm still young, whatever, but it was very, very difficult. And I thought the only person that was there for me was my mom. And even then I was like, well, she's my family, so she has to be there for me. So I feel like it would have been calming if there were more like friends that were there, like voluntarily there, stepping into your situation in your life, trying to help you. Not because, I mean, yes, I know my mom cares about me, but it's just the anxiety probably was the main reason I was thinking that. But I was just like, well, it's just because, you know, she's my mom. Or it's just because, you know, when your mom says, oh, you're so beautiful, and you're just like, stop. Because when mom says it, it doesn't matter. So, yeah, but I think the guidance counselors did a great job. I think they offer a lot of resources here, but I just feel like not a lot of the actual students are very supportive of each other.
Sure. Okay. And I think that that's a great point to bring up, that being able to relate to your peers is really important, and especially with something like mental health. We do have a lot of students, I would say, who do struggle with anxiety and depression and, you know, maybe are in the same shoes that you were starting in eighth grade, you know, kind of not really knowing what it is, or maybe are in your shoes now. And I think being able to know that you're not alone is something that, you know, we stress around here, but also raising some awareness about mental health and why it's important to take care of it and who trusted adults are in your life. That's definitely it's a big thing. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. In that, what's the most important thing that you've learned in regards to your mental health through this process?
Well, first of all, mental health problems are real, because before I was ever like diagnosed or before I ever realized I had it, I was always like, oh, those people are just trying to get attention, or they are just, you know, being crazy. But then I got it myself and I was like, this is real, you know, I'm not crazy. This is something that's really happening. It's hard to understand, because if you've never had it, or at least don't realize you have it, it's hard to understand because there's no like visible symptoms. Like, you know, you don't have like your throat's not swollen, or you don't have like a bruise on your, or you don't have a rash. It's something that is in your mind, and it's, I would say, is worse than any physical, you know, disease you could have, because it's like you're constantly at war with yourself in your own brain. And it's hard for other people to understand because they've never gone through it, you know? They can't see into your mind and understand what you're going through.
Mm-hmm. Good answer. So how has the understanding of your mental health changed how you work or interact with your peers?
I think it's made me a lot more understanding and forgiving. Like the people that were not very supportive or nice to me during that point in my life. At the time, I was so like, just what am I doing wrong to them? Or, you know, I was like upset with them for disliking me for no reason. But now that I'm through that part of my life, I look at those people and I'm just like, that's a them problem. I didn't do anything to cause them to dislike me. And you kind of feel sorry for them because they try to push other people down to build themselves up. And I know that's a cliche thing that people say, but it really is true. Once you take a step back and just like analyze the situation, you see that they were the problem and not you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. So my question for you, Kaylee, we kind of, I had already touched on, you know, other students around Avon and just, you know, all over the world are struggling as well with mental health issues. What happened to it? Where'd the question go? Oh my gosh, you're the worst. But it's really important to feel like your problems or, you know, the things that you're struggling with are things that your peers can relate to. What is something that you would encourage other students to do that are struggling with mental health issues or a mental health issue?
Mm-hmm. Definitely, definitely, definitely go to an adult. There are so many people that want to help you, but they can't if you don't give them the opportunity. If you're struggling and you keep it to yourself, it would be awesome if we just knew and we could just come up to you and just help you, but that's not always the case. And it starts with you telling someone. So, I mean, for me, I told my mom, but again, not everyone has a great relationship with their parents. So there's always, you know, there's counselors here that want to help, or a teacher or just any adult that you trust. So that would, I would say, would be the first step. And then after that, it branches off into a few pathways you can take. You can get on meds, you can go to therapy, or you can surround yourself with people that love you, or all of those things. They're all beneficial.
I think there's a lot of different options out there. It's and like we talked about in the beginning, it's not always the same thing. That the symptoms aren't the same for everyone, so the mm-hmm. whatever you're going to do to take care of the situation is not necessarily the same for everyone.
Mm-hmm. And I like that you brought up, you know, finding a trusted adult, but, you know, knowing people who you really can go mm-hmm. to. So whether that's teachers, mm-hmm. Maybe that is your parents, maybe that's an older sibling, you know, depending on your situation. But definitely having some people who are close enough to you that you can trust and really bring that to, that really have a listening ear and can help you, is definitely big mm-hmm. within mental health.
So when you mentioned having different strategies and techniques and, you know, going to therapy, what would you say has been your go-to technique to kind of keep yourself self-regulated?
Well, I mean, the meds are definitely very helpful, but I really don't think I would be where I am now without my relationship with Christ. I had always, you know, I always thought I was a Christian, you know, but now I'm just look back and it's just, I wasn't, and my 17 years of my life were just wasted because my life began when I opened my Bible and I developed that relationship with Christ, and he pulled me out of the hole that I was in, and I really believe he was the only one that could really do that. So I would definitely recommend, if you have nowhere left to fall, just fall in the Lord's arms, and I guarantee he will be there for you.
So as we're kind of wrapping up mm-hmm. on the anxiety, depression, and, you know, what that looks like, mm-hmm. what are some suggestions for podcasts that you think would be helpful for you know, other students or parents, mm-hmm. the resources that we can provide?
Mm-hmm. I have two in mind, actually. One would be to actually elaborate and explain what a therapy session or what it looks like when a student comes into your guys's office or mm-hmm. Psychiatrist or, you know, whatever appointment you need to be in, what that really looks like. Because I feel like the way it's displayed on TV and, you know, wherever is not at all what it really is. Like, in the movies or whatever, they have that leather couch that they always lay on, and then they talk about, you know, things, and they seem super crazy, and then they have their little psychiatrist that's taking notes, and you never know what they're writing or whatever. But how it really is, you walk in, and they are just a friend to you, really. And yes, it's their job, but, you know, you can tell they want to be there. They want to help you. They want nothing more than for you to be okay. And all they do is just listen. And I remember my first therapy session, like, I didn't even talk about anything I even went through. We just had a conversation. She was just like, so, you know, do you have any siblings? And I talked about my siblings, and she was like, oh, you know, she saw my shirt. She was like, oh, are you in the drum line? I was like, yeah. And we just talked. And we didn't even talk about anything that I was going through. You just develop a relationship with them, and you can just tell they really want to be there with you. And it's not like they're analyzing you. I mean, I'm sure they are, but they aren't showing that they're analyzing you or being judgmental or anything like that. And they truly just want to help you through your situation.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great explanation of what really goes on. I mean, mm-hmm. That's our job.
Mm-hmm.
We got into it for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that most people get into the counseling field to
judge
do anything
people.
Other mm-hmm. than try to help people mm-hmm. be successful.
Yeah.
And when we're trying to do that, I know that sometimes from the outside you see the movies
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
whatever show it is, and they're displaying it in a way that just doesn't really fit what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we're just here to listen, try to help you out in any way that we can
mm-hmm.
and give you advice on what maybe needs to happen next
mm-hmm.
to be successful.
Yes.
And you said you had two ideas in mind.
Yes. But first I want to finish elaborating on this one. Sorry.
Oh, cut you off.
Yeah.
Another thing that I feel like is important for people to know is if you do end up going into therapy, like, you know, again, it's developing a relationship with the person that you're in a room with, talking with every week or every month or a couple times a week or however often. So, you know, you need to make sure that you feel comfortable with that person. And if you don't, I mean, no one's forcing you to stay there. You're allowed to switch. You're allowed to try someone else. So it's very important that you're comfortable with the person that you're speaking to. And that's the end of that idea.
All right.
And then the other idea I had for the podcast is maybe to get parents in that have talked about it, because I know my mom has a lot to say. She just never stops telling me how proud she is of me. But honestly, like, I'm proud of her because
okay.
Sorry.
Deep breaths.
Mm-hmm. sorry, I'm almost there.
That's
it's okay. Apologize. Yeah. Nothing wrong.
Because I know it can't be easy to see, you know, your own child suffering so much and going through something. And I know she wanted nothing more than to make it all go away. And, I mean, she did. She helped so much. So I think it would be beneficial to have parents of, you know, any students or anyone that has gone through mental health problems to come in and talk about what they did to help their kids and what they did to stay strong. Because my mom stayed so strong for me, you know, like, I know she was holding back tears the whole time. I know. It can't be easy, you know. But she did it, and I'm really proud of her. So, good job, Mom.
That's awesome. That's a good idea. I hadn't thought about that, but
mm-hmm.
it's a great idea. This one from the student perspective and mm-hmm. then one from the parent perspective, because it is different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as a parent of four kids, I mean, I would give everything to make sure that they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, makes sense.
I never thought really more than just the student perspective, but, you know, I mean, it's also important for parents to know, too, that, hey, you know, you do have people who support you while you're supporting your kid. And sure, your mom put on a brave face, but it's also, you know, it's something where I'm sure for her to have her own support system to be able to be open and honest, too, so she could still continue to be strong and support you is certainly important. Mm-hmm. I like that idea. It's very good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. And then as we are wrapping up, we have started to collect some great parent questions on our feedback form, which, by the way, is now conveniently located on our guidance webpage under the Guidance Podcasts tab at the very bottom of the screen there. So the very first question we wanted to address, because this one is important if there's something going on, someone had asked who to call if your child is being bullied at school. And to answer that, I would say the best place to go would be to start with the guidance counselor for your child. And then we are going to be working in conjunction with the assistant principal that oversees your child as well. And we had mentioned that in one of our early episodes about the triad system. So it's two, or if you're a senior counselor, three counselors working with one assistant principal overseeing students over the course of several years. And within that system, we would identify, you know, the details of the situation and then do what we can to immediately support the student and get the conflict resolved.
Yeah. And if you want to do that anonymously, so you're not calling a counselor, divulging names or whatever, if you want to, there is a form on the Avon High School or on the Avon School's webpage. I believe it's on the right-hand side in the upper right-hand corner. There's a tab labeled safety. Mm-hmm. And once you click that, Michelle can navigate us the rest of the way since you're the navigator.
I was going to say, you're doing a great job of navigating. I haven't had to do this in a long time. So welcome back. Basically, so yeah, you're going to go to avon-schools.org. And in the yellow banner that's on the top, in the top right corner, there's that tab that Mr. Thompson had talked about called safety. And you will go in there. And then the first thing that pulls up is bullying. And so it kind of goes through the differences between bullying and normal peer conflict, because that can easily be confused, I think, especially with some of the things that we see. And then you are able to make a report just on the right side of the page, kind of up towards the top under the Stay Safe, Speak Up picture icon, and it's report bullying and safety concerns.
Great. Great job, Michelle. Nice navigation. And Kaylee, we want to thank you again for being willing to share your story. I think it'll be beneficial for other students to hear what it's been like for you and to hopefully encourage them along the way. And from all of us at Guidance Unscripted, we are Avon, we are one.